Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 13 through to the end. Our focus is going to be verse 13 and verse 14 this morning. Beginning in verse 13, called to be holy. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each man's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for you, for the sake of you, through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly, from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. As I mentioned, our focus is going to be verses 13 and 14. Let's read those again. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you look back on this last year, 2017, and you look at the news cycles, you look at the stories that made the front lines, the headlines, we could talk together about a lot of very big stories, a lot of things that went on this year, from the inauguration of Trump and his ascendancy to the presidency of the United States. That certainly has brought about a lot of talk in the media. We could talk about North Korea, all of the tensions that there are in the world right now with the possibility of nuclear war. We could talk about the Hollywood scandals. We could talk about what has happened to so many directors of very famous movies. We could talk about Syria. We could talk about what Russia has done as they have gone in with the United States and as ISIS has been pushed out of Syria. All of these stories, brothers and sisters, are big stories, stories that we've read a lot about. But one of the biggest stories, I think, this year, at least for me, is one that is not receiving a lot of press. And that is the tremendous revolutionary change that is taking place right within our own country. There are so many big things that are being talked about, big issues, concerns that we see as we look at our society today. Whether it's euthanasia, whether it's drug legalization, whether it's gender fluidity, all of these things, legislation is being passed today that is going to change what Canada looks like. And brothers and sisters, some of these things we haven't even talked about in the past. Some of these words I never even used when I was a teenager. It's a whole new world that we live in today. Young people, you're facing these things in the universities and in the colleges. I know my kids are. This was brought home to me as I listened to CBC, which I like to do on occasion. And they were talking and interviewing a person who had received an award for both best actor and for best actress. That person at this point wasn't sure that day, had woken up and said, "Today I'm an actor. Tomorrow I'm not sure." And brothers and sisters, these kinds of conversations are so open today. These are things that are being talked about. And really, brothers and sisters, we can say that we are looking at a new type of battle. At least that's true for us. It looks new. But as we turn to God's Word, as we look at what the Bible says, the Bible is very honest with us, isn't it? It's very clear to us that there is absolutely nothing that is new under the sun. And when you look at history, you understand that all of the sins that we're seeing, all of the things that we're talking about today, in some way, shape, or form, have been talked about in the past. You look at the stories that are told in the Bible, a lot of them are very shocking to us as we read through those stories with our children. But really, the battle is the same. The battle changes, yes, in every generation. There's new ways of thinking, there's new ideas, there's new ways of living. But really, brothers and sisters, the battle is the same. And this is simply a part of living a life of faith. It's a part of thinking through what it is that we believe as the church. It's a part of understanding what our convictions are. What are the values that we are going to teach the next generation? What are the things that we believe personally? In Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against rulers, it is against authorities, it is against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." This morning we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're looking at a time in history where the church was struggling. You know, perhaps a little of the background of 1 Peter, that the church was undergoing tremendous persecution. This particular book is addressed to those who are scattered throughout 5 provinces. These were Christians who were driven out of their homes. These were Christians who were forced into a very uncomfortable position. Yet they understood that they had been called for a purpose. They understood that this trial of their faith was specifically to spread the good news of the gospel. If you look at verses 6 through 8 there's a summary of what was going on. It says there, "In this, speaking of the persecution, you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not yet see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Now, brothers and sisters, the question that I want to consider with you this morning is this. In 2018, how are you going to respond to everything that you are seeing take place around you? Well, how are you going to respond to the challenges to your faith that you will have to face. And our theme this morning is setting our hope fully on the grace of God. We're going to see four things together. We're going to see, first of all, that Peter calls us to be alert. Secondly, Peter calls us to be sober. Thirdly, he calls us to be those who set our hope on something. And fourthly, that we are not to be conformed. Peter, first of all, says in verse 13, he says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action, be sober-minded." There's two things here. First of all, Peter's speaking about a mental preparedness, isn't he? He's speaking about girding up the loins of our mind. And children, perhaps you've heard the explanation of what happened in battle for those in the past, those who used to fight hand to hand. They used to have, you know, those big swords perhaps you've seen in the movies, those big sabers. Well, those weapons, they were oftentimes kept in a belt around the waist. And many times they wore long robes. And in order to fight in a real battle, the warriors needed to pick up those robes and tuck those robes into their belt. Those robes couldn't get in the way. They couldn't have those things hanging by their side so that they wouldn't be able to fight properly. Now, Peter here is using a word picture. He's using an explanation, and he's saying, look, this is what you as a believer need to do. You need to understand that your mind needs to be alert. Your mind needs to be prepared for action. Just as they would tuck these robes into their waist so that they could run and they could fight the battle, so for the Christian, we need to understand that we need to be battle ready. And this is something that perhaps seems very obvious to us. You know, to be distracted or to be asleep, obviously you're not going to be able to fight very well, are you? You're not going to be engaged, are you? But brothers and sisters, Peter reminds us as the church of this very simple truth, because this is something that oftentimes we can forget, isn't it? One of Satan's greatest tactics is to put the church to sleep, to not allow us to be up to think clearly about what the battle is. And just as those who fought in battles in the past, in Old Testament times, those who stood on the walls around a city, they were forced, those who were the watchmen on the walls, they were forced to keep awake all night, weren't they? And here Peter is saying to us, look, as Christians, you need to understand that you are in a spiritual battle. You need to understand that you have a role to play. You know, sometimes we can tend to think that we're in kind of this neutral world. Sometimes we tend to think we can sit on the sidelines and really not participate as Christians. But what happens when we're not alert? What happens when we're asleep? Well, we're not able to see the battle. We're not able to see the danger, are we? I remember when I was a young person, I was trained to be a lifeguard. And as you know, a lifeguard is a person that is supposed to watch out for people who don't swim very well. My job was to sit in a chair and look out on a pool and be sure that none of the kids drowned or got hurt or took in too much water. And I thought that I knew what this was all about. I had worked in it for a while. Then I had opportunity to go to a day camp or a Christian camp. And I was put there on duty as a lifeguard. And there they had a very strict regiment. They were very, very good. They had all of the lifeguards knew exactly what they were to do. And I was a little bit lackadaisical. I really thought that I knew. I really thought that I had this figured out. And everybody had their place, and they would do these drills, and all of the children, over 300 kids, would have to come out of that water. Within 5 minutes, they would have to check on them. Everybody would have a buddy. But while I was on watch, one of the children broke their leg running on the dock and slipping. Afterwards, I got in a little bit of trouble for it because I wasn't on top of the situation. But brothers and sisters, because I was not alert, because I wasn't doing my job, something bad happened. And as Christians, we need to understand that in the spiritual battle that we are in, we need to be continually called to be on our feet, to be sharp. Because practically, as we live our lives from day to day, what can happen to us? Well, sometimes we can be a little bit out of touch, can't we? We really don't know what is happening in the society around us. We don't read any newspapers. We don't stay engaged. We can even be caught a bit in our own little bubble. We're not thinking about the battle that we're in. So let me remind you this morning, this is the calling that you have, to be alert. Don't stay in your bubble. Don't stay where it's safe. Remember that you are called to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and part of that calling is to be awake, not to fall asleep at the wheel. The second thing that Peter reminds us of is to be sober. He says, preparing your minds for action, girding up the loins of our mind. He says, be what? Be sober-minded. And when we talk about sobriety or a lack of it, brothers and sisters, what are we talking about? Well, you know what is being said here. When we talk about a person that is drunk is a person that is out of control, isn't it? Isn't he? The state that we lived in Mexico was one of the, had the highest level of alcoholism in all of Mexico. So it was very common for us to see drunk people on the road. There was an area that we used to drive, and it was a small town, and there would be so many drunk people on that road, we would have to weave up that street, be very, very careful. But that's what happens to an alcoholic. A person who drinks too much is a person that isn't in control of his body. He's in love with the bottle. He's in love with that alcohol, and really everything else takes second place. And Peter here is not talking about being drunk. He's not talking about using too much alcohol. But what he's saying is that our minds need to be sober. It can't be intoxicated. It can't be affected. It can't be impaired. And young people, you need to understand this morning that there are a lot of things in this life with which you can be intoxicated. Today we hear a lot of problems in the youth. Those who are using drugs and alcohol, especially drugs in Canada, the number of overdoses last year was truly incredible, in the thousands, something we haven't seen in maybe our history. But there are a lot of things in our life that can cause us to be intoxicated. That's the reality, that can take our focus away. And we can talk about the pursuit of money. We can talk about that perfect job that you might want to get down the road. That's your focus, going to university. And brothers and sisters, we know that there's nothing wrong with getting a good job. There's nothing wrong with being focused on being good providers as men, as leaders of our home. We know that this is something that God calls us to, isn't it? But we need to understand that anything that puts us out of balance, anything that takes us away from the focus that God wants us to have, that can cause us to be intoxicated. I want to give you a real easy definition of what Peter here is talking about when he talks about being sober. Really, it's being serious about what is serious. You know, sometimes our life can soon begin to lose a focus on what God wants us to have. Sometimes our life can become, on the one hand, yes, we say that we are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, but the reality is most of our life, most of our time, most of our focus really is on other things. And staying balanced as believers and staying balanced in our walk with the Lord is a very important thing. And Peter here is saying to us, look at, be sober. Because he knew even for the church in the New Testament times, this was a serious problem. This was something that they were battling with, even those who were undergoing great persecution at this time. And the reality is that we are addicts by nature. We can be addicted to a lot of things. That can be sports, that can be entertainment, that can be a lot of things. So Peter here is saying, look it, don't be distracted. He's saying, don't be intoxicated with the things the world has to offer you. But Peter here calls us to set our minds on something bigger, on something that is better. And he says in verse 12 or verse 13, he says, set your hope fully on what? He says, on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And to set our minds on, the verb that is being used here is the strongest verb in all of this sequence. And the idea here is to keep something central in your mind, to focus completely on something. And in this case, he's saying it's the grace that has been brought to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. You might wonder, why is it necessary? Why was it necessary for Peter to be saying this to the church at this point? Wouldn't they have been focused people right now, considering the persecution? The reality was, brothers and sisters, for a lot of them, they might have been losing hope right at this point. No doubt their minds were going through that mental gymnastics, those mental gymnastics that every Christian struggles with. When he looks at his life and he realizes that things aren't exactly how he wants them. Maybe they were asking the question, well, why is it, Lord, that you are doing this to us? Why is it that you aren't blessing us like we would like? Maybe they were losing hope. But Peter here points them back to what they had received. He points to the grace that they had received in Jesus Christ. And we know, brothers and sisters, what grace is. It's undeserved merit. It's what verse 8 talked about, isn't it? The joy that they had received in the salvation that they had obtained through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And Peter here was reminding them of what Christ had done in their life. Peter was reminding them of all that they had received in Him. But Peter just didn't want them to focus on grace that they had received, but he wanted them to focus on a grace that they would receive coming up, on an eternal grace. And brothers and sisters, it's interesting the way that Peter puts it here. He says, Set your hope on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what Peter here is doing is he's saying, look it. You may not live to see tomorrow. You may not live to see, to live a long life. But if you are called into the presence of God tomorrow, you know where you are going. And for these believers, this was the reality that they were living in. They were living from day to day, trusting in the Lord. For us, it's hard to imagine, I think, what it would be like to live through severe persecution. You know, I've imagined what it would be like. As I've read the stories of the Christians in Syria who have given their life, in Iraq, so many have given their lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. We don't have any idea, do we? But can you imagine what these believers were going through as they struggled with the reality of being in eternity, facing their Savior, seeing their Savior face to face? And Peter here wanted them to be focused. He wanted them to be serious. He wanted them to be reminded of everything that they had been given. On the grace that they had received and the grace that they would receive and what it would be like to be with their Savior face to face. Brothers and sisters, we sometimes say that life is short. Let me tell you, for a lot of the Christians in the New Testament, their life was very short. The reality is, even though we may live a few years on the face of this earth, and if the Lord gives you many years like some of our brothers and sisters here, life truly is short. And God gives you one opportunity to know Him, to serve Him, and to live for Him. And the question is, what are you going to do with that opportunity? And when your focus is eternity, brothers and sisters, when that is continually before you, it makes you live your life in a very different way. Because you know that your home is not here on this earth. You know that you don't really belong here. But where do you belong? You belong there, don't you? We need to pray, brothers and sisters, that God would give us that kind of understanding, that kind of focus, that focus on eternity. Because, you know, all of us, we get caught up in our lives, we get caught up in our work, we get caught up in the businesses that we own, and sometimes it can take over, we can forget, we can lose perspective. But for these believers, it's so beautiful to see that this was the focus that Peter was calling them to. The grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look with me at verse 18. It says, knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. And brothers and sisters, that is the promise that is made not just to the believers of the first century, but that promise is for each one of us here today. And I pray that that would be your confession, that that would be your hope. that you would be able to stay focused on the things that are truly important, that you would understand that you are here for a time. But in that time, you are here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And children, I pray that that would be true of you as well. That you would understand what a joy it is, what a privilege it is to be able to know the Lord Jesus Christ at an early age. But young people, realize this. Children, realize this. That you too are called to be a part of this battle. That you too are a part of a generation that is called to be faithful, to be a light, to reach those around you. And the reality is, brothers and sisters, many times our children can have a tremendous effect. Many times young people can speak into situations that we can't speak into as adults, as parents. We need to pray that God would raise up a generation of passionate children, of passionate youth, of passionate young people with this eternal perspective. And this, brothers and sisters, is why Peter continues in verse 14, and he speaks of not being conformed to the passions of the past. He says, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. We don't have a lot of time to spend on this right now, but brothers and sisters, you know that in New Testament times, they were very similar to our own, weren't they? They were times of hedonism. And Peter was speaking to those who had recently come to Christ, and they had just come out of all of that kind of living. They knew what it meant to follow their desires. They knew that it wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. They knew that even though sin is attractive, they knew that even though sin is sweet for a time, they knew the ugly consequence of their sin. They knew what it meant to be slaves in their minds, in their hearts, and in their bodies. But Christ had come to save them. Christ had come to release them. Christ had come to proclaim the good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And in all of the language here in chapter 1, isn't it beautiful to see the joy that is being expressed here? Even though they had lived in sin, even though they knew the slavery of that sin, they knew now what it meant to be released from that and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that for every one of you here today, that would be true. That you would know the power of the cross, that you would know what it means to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know the liberty that you have been given in Him. And you see, brothers and sisters, we know that we are not to be conformed. Yet the church needs to be reminded again and again not to go down that road again. That we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. As Romans 12, verse 2 says, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, brothers and sisters, when you think of not being conformed, we know We know that this is a result of a person who has been saved by grace. We know that this is the work of a holy God transforming and changing our lives to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And this is not something that we can do on our own, is it? It's not that we're through our own strength of, you know, pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps that we're going to be able to change ourselves overnight. Tonight, a lot of you are going to make some New Year's resolutions, and it's probably a good thing. We'll all do the same. We'll do the same. But brothers and sisters, we need to pray that the transforming power of the Holy Spirit would be at work in us this coming year. That as we look to 2018, as we look to what God has in store for us, we don't know what's coming down the pipe. We don't know what's coming down the road for us, do we? We don't know all of the struggles that we're going to have. We don't know all of the blessings that we're going to have of the new year. We need to pray that we would not be conformed, but that we would truly be transformed. That Christ would be glorified in us. And that those who look at our lives and that those who are observing us, as we know, the world will do. That they will see who's in charge in our life. What is our true focus? That we're not just like everyone else, living for a good time, living for our passions, living for our desires, living for what feels good. But that we are believers called to a life of holiness. And brothers and sisters, I pray that that would be true in your life this coming year. That you would not be distracted, but that you would be alert. That you would not be intoxicated, but that you would be sober. That this year your focus would be one of hope, no matter what happens. And that you would know what it means to set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you. And brothers and sisters, maybe there's going to be some of us here that will be called into glory. We don't know. But let's live 2018 in a way that will help us, that we will be able to be focused, and that we will be able to face whatever comes. And even if the Lord Jesus Christ calls us into His presence, brothers and sisters, may we be ready for that. May our hope not be on the things that are around us, the things that we can focus on, that we can see and touch and taste. But may our focus be on what Jesus Christ is promising us here. That when He comes again, when He comes again to call us into His presence, that we will be ready for that day. And brothers and sisters, what a joy it is that we can be sure of where we are going. What a joy it is that we can know that Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sins. May you be ready for the day that Christ calls you into His glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You and praise You for Your goodness and grace. Lord, we thank You that You have called us to be Your children. Lord, that our hope is on you and on your word. And Lord, we thank you that even though we are often distracted and even though we often can lose our way, Lord, we thank you that you call us again, that you return to sinners such as ourselves to remind us of the true path. Lord, the path that you have called us to as your church. Lord, one of holiness. Lord, one of love for you. And Father, we pray that for each one of us, that would be our focus this day. Lord, that we wouldn't, Lord, continue if we're living in a life of sin or living a life of distraction, Father, that we would be reminded that Christ has set us apart for his own. To be children, Lord, who focus on knowing and loving you. Lord, what a joy it is to know that. Lord, may we live from that from day to day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.